Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
For good.
Awesome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Biz for Good show. We're so excited today for our guests. We're excited to be here. Me, Bobby Glenn James, and the Ryan Pilkington. Go. So thank you for listening. We're going to have an exciting show. We're going to have some fun today. We have Mr. Jay Taylor with a whole lot of energy bringing his amazingness to us. Thank you for coming, Jay.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
We're going to jump right into segments. So as you know, Biz for Good show is all about, you know, doing good in the world, specifically in a business mindset, you know, non-profit, for-profit, whatever that looks like, as long as you're doing something good in the world. Uh-oh, my notes just went to sleep. Okay, there we go. There's our notes. All right, you see those? You see them?
I see the notes, okay. Bobby.
All right. So, tip of the day. Tip of the day. You remember what we're doing for tip of the day? Okay, a really good friend of mine, a super awesome friend of mine, gave me this cool daily inspirations from Wayne Dyer calendar.
All right, yeah.
And
I have no idea who the guy is.
You don't know who Wayne Dyer is?
I'm serious.
That is just crazy to me. Dr. Wayne Dyer, he's like the personal development guru of the world. I mean, he's been doing his thing since the 70s. He's the... Okay, we need to find out about Dr. Dyer.
Because
he's a little funky, and you'll see that he's a little funky by the fact that... the one I'm going to read here. So January 18th, I just picked one by random. It says, hold on to your center. Man was made to sit quietly and find the truth within. What does that mean to you, Ryan?
That's so deep, man.
So deep.
That's so deep.
That is so deep.
This Dyer dude's deep.
He is deep. So this is from the Tao Te Ching that if you're familiar with, you know, I don't know what century it was, like 3000 BC or something, that the Tao Te Ching was written. But
oh, wow.
That's
way back deep.
Way back deep. So what do you think that means? A center man was made to sit quietly and find the truth within.
For me, that would say, in a life that is hectic, especially in today's world, that is very crucial to center ourselves, but unplug.
Unplug? Did somebody just knock on the door? Hey, right in the middle of the podcast, somebody's knocking on the door, but we're not answering. And hey, my machine blue screened with our script on it. I remember what's on it somewhat. So remember, who's our spotlight today?
Our spotlight is a company called The Good Deed Revolution.
The Good Deed Revolution. How do you find out about them?
So the Good Deed Revolution was started with a lady that decided to pay it forward, and it kind of grew into a bigger thing. And so now whenever she sees something in need, it just happens. The universe starts creating some movement, and she's been able to help people pay for their electricity, their utilities, or just whatever somebody needs. They'll find out about it. Awesome. And she'll pay it forward and take care of them. You can go to gooddeedrevolution.org.
Gooddeedrevolution.org. That's worth checking out. That's worth checking out. Yeah. Awesome.
And then you go.
What's up? Yay! Awesome!
Sound effects today.
Sound of- We got sound of it. We are high end. We are high caliber today. So, any ideas what was... What was that? It sounded like something just got run over. It's a chicken. Is that a chicken? That's a chicken. It's a rooster of some kind that just got stepped on. All right. Where are we at? I'm totally lost. Okay, we got to get back on course. Ryan, you're the one supposed to keep us on course, man.
Your screen's gone blank.
I know, my screen's gone blank. But I remember, so we were talking about that. You remember our Just for Fun?
Just for Fun.
Our segment about having some fun things.
We are way
improv.
Off course.
It's improv. Improv.
Fun. Improv. Daily dose of fun.
Daily dose of fun.
Yeah, let's
and
get
we're
back.
Gonna improv.
Ooh, center.
So
we need a
here's
center.
The here's the here's the concept.
Focus.
You are a Russian man that is going to the dentist, right?
Yeah.
And I'm the dentist, and you're not a big fan of dentistry.
No, I'm not. Well, the Russian isn't.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So
I don't like dentists either. But.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get real serious about this. Okay. Good morning. How are you today?
Very good. How are you?
I am awesome. So we're going to take a look at your teeth today and get you all fixed up?
Oh, that's not good for me, no. I don't like the teeth pulled, no.
You don't like the teeth pulled? Oh, well, I'm not maybe going to pull the teeth. I need you to sit down in this chair. Okay. And
no, me Brutus, me no, you know, me Russian, and I don't like to sit in down with dentist people.
You don't like to sit down with dentist people. Hey, trust me. Hey, this is going to be painless. This is going to be seamless. Just have a sit here and go ahead and open your mouth for me. You got to take a look at the teeth.
You know, I think I have to go visit my sister in Vasania. I'm sorry, I have to go.
Just take it easy. Just kick back here. Let me give you some of this gas stuff. Here, this will make you feel better.
Oh, yes, Russian. I dream of very large women. Oh, this is not.
Okay, good. There you go. There's a little drool here. Let me wipe that drool up off of the side of your mouth. Oh, yeah. Hey. Oh, yeah. You got some bad cavities. Looks like we're going to have to rip a couple of those out real quick.
No, dude. I have lots of money in my teeth. I hid money there, I swear.
You hid money in your teeth. Oh, well, let's see if we can... Hey, yeah, there's some gold fillings. Hey, that's perfect.
Oh, no. Help me, someone.
Okay, that's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets. Daily
Russian,
hey,
no, like,
hey, this,
teeth pulled.
This is off of the script. I don't know. But that's what improv is. All right. So we gave it our best shot. I swear it's going to get better. Okay. What was our other thing? We had another thing. Do you remember? Okay. Talk about something while I look it up.
Oh. Oh, this gets serious here with you, everybody. Having fun with the Russian. Biz for Good, we definitely want to spotlight businesses doing good. But you know what's interesting? On the way to the studio today, I remember like listening to all these advertisements and you know, Wendy's fast food. They have a foundation with Dave Thomas. And basically with the adoption.
That Dave Thomas founded.
Yeah. He was adopted and he really believed that kids need a chance with adoption. Anyway, so look into that. I mean, it's probably in your face anyways, but look around you in the world that we live in today and see how many businesses are actually reaching out and partnering with charities, and you'll see it is a biz for good revolution right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Revolution's a big word. I have a feeling revolution is going to be a big word for 2017.
Yeah.
We're all making differences, changing for good. Okay, I got our script back up from our crash.
All right.
But I've lost everything. No, it's not true. Oh, Google Challenge today. Yeah, Google Challenge today. We're gonna find out who, because you don't know who Wayne Dyer is.
Oh.
We're fixing to find out. Wayne Dyer. Oh, wait. I'm supposed to say who is.
Who is
Wayne? And then we're going to go to page 3.
The Google Challenge.
Who is Wayne Dyer? First page.
Oh, he's the bald guy.
Yes, you know. I knew you knew who he was. I knew you knew who he was.
I need to go outside of my world, but.
Wayne Dyer, Huffington Post, is on the third page. Third page.
He's very
inspiring.
Yeah, he gets deep.
Personal debate. He does get deep. Okay. Wayne Dyer.
Yeah, you did just pass away.
Dads never die. In death, Wayne Dyer teaches his children and us about love. Oh, that's so cool. Let's read a little bit of this. That sounds so he passed away just not very long ago. I mean, he was not really very old. In 2015. He had a heart attack, August 29th, 2015. But he says through a medium, he's still here, learning and teaching. Do you remember him saying and writing, "You'll see it when you believe it"? How about when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change? And the importance of the words, "I am." Yeah, he just had so much cool philosophies. Two of Dyer's daughters, Serena and Sage, that's it, remind us of how important those two words were to their beloved dad in this blog post, Elevated Existence, last June. The blog post is a heartfelt testimony from the daughters who learned so much from their forgiveness teacher. Serena and Sage are getting their own personal message from their dad. A medium helped with this communication from the father of motivation. It's a message that goes beyond his teachings, and it resonates with what another great teacher told us more than 2,000 years ago. Dyer reminded us that God is love and is within all of us. Author and medium Karen Noe also spoke about something called we consciousness. Interesting.
Wow, yeah.
Interesting. That's the third page of...
And
now you see, you do know who Wayne Dyer is.
Yeah, I do know Wayne Dyer.
Yeah, you know
him. I'm an imagey guy. I'm a graphic guy. So.
That's right. Yeah, and he's pretty memorable when you see him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you. Good with our guest today, because that kind of goes good with our guest today.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. We're excited to get to the interview with Jay, which we should probably do right now. Action of the day, though. Let's do action of the day before we get to the interview.
All right, yeah.
Do you remember what we were going to do for the action of the day?
We were going to do cool stuff.
We were going to tell people to get
tell people.
And do a random act of kindness.
Yeah.
Get off your duff and go find somebody to assist, help, either pay it forward. You know what me and my wife have done for date night? Every once in a while, what we'll do is we'll go to some little restaurant or something, and we'll spend the night in our restaurant looking at all the people in the restaurant, and then we'll find a couple or a family or something, and we'll pay for their dinner. We've done that before, where we don't tell them it's us or anything. We just tell the waitress or waiter, hey, just find out what they owe, and then we'll pay for it. And
that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. What we've done in the past, which is really fun, is kind of go outside and get in the car and kind of watch them when they come out, the people. We try and pick people that we kind of feel connected with, you know, we're like in the, and I know you're just in a restaurant, but we've done it before, and we like, I remember once we saw this couple, and they just seemed, you know, kind of sad, down. I don't know, we don't know the situation, but they just didn't seem like they were too happy. And so me and Momo both said, yeah, these are the people we're gonna help. And then we went outside, and we sat in the car, and we waited, and it was so cool to watch them come outside.
Yeah.
You could tell
they
were different. They were different. Something just happened to them that was really, they were grateful for it. And they had smiles on their faces. Their whole energy changed. And it was just so fun for me and Momo to see that.
Nice.
So I challenge, and you don't have to
do that challenge myself.
Yeah, you don't have to, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money
You going
to
cover a tip or?
Yeah, or buying a soda at the gas station for the person behind you. Just some random thing that just lifts somebody up. It's amazing how easy, how powerful we are as people, that we can lift people really, really easily.
Yeah.
And our guest is going to show that just as much, because Jay is like the epitome of heartfelt and connected and a pay it forward kind of guy. So we're excited to have him on. So those are our segments. We're trying segments in the beginning. Let's get to our interview.
Let's introduce Jay and his awesomeness and what he's been up to.
So as you know, Biz for Good is we interview folks that are doing things for good, that are in business, that are doing business, and we go way back with Jay. At least 3 years, but it's soul-wise, probably forever. Probably we've known each other forever, or all three of us are absolutely soul, whatever you call it.
Connected. We are connected, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. And Jay's been in business, done business, and we'll let you kind of explain your past and what you've done in the past and what the future is for Jay Taylor and the amazing, powerful things that you're doing. Okay, so Ryan is here to keep us on track. He is our stabilizer.
Right on. Yeah, he's the force.
Absolutely. He brings us back in if I get up in the clouds or if I squirrel too hardcore.
Uh-huh.
But the time is mostly Jay's to talk and give us all kinds of insight.
Well, I keep hearing Ryan say, I am one with the force and the force is one with me. I am one with the force and the force is one with me. I can, you know, sense it and see it, right?
Yeah, I've been seeing it there. All week.
Right on.
No, you're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah.
In anticipation of seeing you two today, I was thinking about our relationship and thinking about how we met. And I can remember distinctly when and how I met each of you. And I think from the very first moment that we talked and the very first moment that we saw each other, we have had a strong, continuous, instant soul-level bond.
Mm.
Absolutely.
And what's interesting is that came about not in the context of friendship. That came out in the context of business. So when we talk about Biz for Good, oftentimes we're talking about Biz for Good out in the community, Biz for Good in what we sell or do. Isn't it interesting that internally, when we have Biz for Good, right, it can be about good relationships.
Yeah.
It can be about who we meet in the journey and what we do.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't explain who I am or what I do, but I did think in connection with your comment that there is a connection, and we felt it immediately. We've enjoyed it. And that's one of the great things about business.
The cool thing too is I think that is so dismissed in business. The connection and the energy you have, business partners or people that you know you can do business with, that is a powerful thing that I think is kind of swept under the rug.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other side of that, and the challenge that we have in working with small business owners and entrepreneurial community. Is what do we do when we have somebody who doesn't connect with us? When the visions aren't aligned or there's not, you know, doesn't resonate. How do we handle that? Because if we're on this side of Biz for Good, we tend to be more compassionate. We tend to be more caring. We tend to give people a longer rope. Outward focused in a loving, caring, compassionate way. But at what point in time do we look at the team that we're surrounded with? Do we look at the people we work with and say, the internal relationships are so critical to the outcome that, you know, where does it start, right? So what, not only is that dismissed, everything is always about the target market that's external. But you both know that my argument is the most important target market any business has are the employees, are the leaders, are the internal side. Yeah. So those relationships, not only can they be fun, not only can they be enjoyable, can they extend, like ours has, way beyond the entrepreneurial ecosystem, but into our personal lives and into our causes, into our families. What do we do, and how do we handle when it doesn't resonate?
Yeah, well, I'm excited to find out what we do.
Yeah. No, it's a big question.
It is a good question, because it's hard. It's damaging to your business to have an acid relation, or you know, somebody in there that's toxic. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a business partner that in the past you've had a good relationship with, but you know it's hurting the company because of the and so I'm kind of excited what you got to tell us about that.
Well, you know, it's just something that's on my mind that I see a lot, you know, with respect to relationships. And it's kind of like trying to be everything to everyone. Sometimes we do have somebody who's got a lot of talent, or they're a good friend, or we bring them in because of their subject matter expertise. But right on a personality level, on a relationship level, on a connectedness level, that energy isn't there. And so kind of the question is it more important to try to, you know, work that out and make that, force that to happen in the business context, or is it more important to cut ties there and to pursue the relationship outside, if it is a personal relationship, and keep it going? Or if it just isn't meant to be and it's a business relationship, surround yourself with team members who share the vision. And I know, Bobby, as I look at you and I see you're very inclusive. You invite people. You bring people in. In fact, I'm not going to say you invite conflict, but you invite different ideas, right? you invite an opposing viewpoint.
I look at the Abraham Lincoln version, you know, where he pulls in the people that have different opinions than him, because it for one, shows that I care with what I believe in, because I'll fight for somebody who doesn't, but it's also can be a detriment for sure.
And that's the balance, right? That's the balance of finding what roles you put people in like that, you know? And I know both of you are big on advisory boards, and both of you have advisory boards and, you know, have had them. Mm-hmm. On the advisory board, do we bring in people who just have in buy-in, right? Or do we bring in people with different opinions and ideas? And then at that particular point, if we do we spend all of our time trying to create consensus and buy-in? You know, if I'm spending all my time trying to get you to buy into my vision, then I'm not. What's that?
But you won't, because
but
it's
ultimately
not your
I won't
thing.
Because it's not. It's not our mutual thing.
And is that really beneficial?
Yeah, and I tend to think more and more with respect to how limited our time is on this earth, with the other challenges we have, with how things are, that we're better off surrounding ourselves with people that we resonate with, that resonate with us, that can buy into our vision. Yes, they can have different viewpoints.
Yeah.
All roads lead to Rome, right? I mean, there's lots of different ways exactly. to get there. But when you have an inspired vision, when you're passionate about what you do, when you know why you're here, when that already has been given to you, I don't know that you need somebody to undermine that or be telling you, You know, Bobby, that's not quite really the direction I would go.
Right.
And you're saying, yeah, but I created this. Or you know, because I believe, and in what I do, and based on my experience at this particular point, and you know, maturing in life and my age, and where I work at, is what I call the intersection of better practices and divine direction.
Ooh.
And I believe that entrepreneurs, for the most part, are divinely directed. I believe that entrepreneurs start in business.
I'll feel that way.
Because they have a cause, because they have a reason, because they're called to do something.
Yeah.
Whether it's a cause, anti-bullying, whether it's a book, 8 Wisdoms, or a whole a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's like you couldn't not do it, right?
Right.
You were pulled into it. By denying that, you would not be true to yourselves.
True.
And so if we do have divine direction, or if we seek divine direction, and we're able to have that calling, right, have that absolutely magnetic draw to what we do, that passion, then it's probably like, no, I've kind of already worked the buy-in, you know, with what really matters. And perhaps, you know, looking at and praying for attracting the people that will carry the vision forth.
Yeah, I just realized we introduced you wrong. We didn't say Chaplain Jay Taylor. And
Chaplain.
This is Chaplain Jay Taylor, not just Jay Taylor, and which I love you know me, I'm all about, you know, spirit is the third wisdom in my book. And so I know we're always divine, being connected with divinity just makes such a big difference in business.
It does.
And it's not something, again, we talk about, really. Right. But, and so it's kind of a nice, fun light that you have, this light that you bring it to.
Thank you.
To business.
Thank you. And I'm really excited about that. And that's part of going and getting the training to be a chaplain, to step into that space, because it's difficult to introduce that into the boardroom, right, into the meeting room. Even though my experience is most people outside of the workplace, outside of the boardroom, especially when they're creating their own business, right? They have a small business or operating. Divine direction is critical to who they are and where they go. Yeah. It's my experience over decades that entrepreneurs and small business owners, their marriages dissolve. They second and third mortgage their home. They sell their blood. They beg, borrow, and steal to get this idea launched. Mm-hmm. And it's divinely launched and they connect. But in the marketplace, in front of people, they separate from that divinity, from that vision. So true. By bringing that in, by saying it's okay, by saying, Bobby, whatever is your source, go ahead. It's okay. Bring that in. Who's a better CEO to bring to the table?
Yeah.
Advisory board.
To your
advisory there's no
board.
Better advisory, I mean, board.
What better sounding board is there? What better person to see into the future? What better person to lead you away from pitfalls?
Yeah.
And as we know, if you don't ask in life, the answer is always no.
Yeah. Mm.
And so why do we not seek that? And, you know, especially like Ryan, with your background with graphic design or something like that, that is totally based on creativity, right?
Oh, yeah.
Totally based on source. I've seen you work before. I know that your thing is, I call you and I want it yesterday, and you say, well, that doesn't work for what I do because I need to feel it.
Yeah.
I need to think about it.
Yeah, it takes me a little time.
And do you ever pray for direction? Do you ever, you know, step into a space of meditation or thought and try to be guided?
Over the years, I've gotten attuned to let it take its own force,
mm-hmm.
and trust in that guidance. At first, I fought it, but as I accept it, it just starts coming together naturally. So it's been a journey for sure to see that creativity just kind of...
Just connect spirit to spirit.
Yeah.
Just connect.
I used to get so upset and then walk away. This isn't happening. And we'd fight. And then if I just step back, come back and say, I accept it. Let's just see what happens. Then it comes together.
So just recognizing that, to not step into the resistance, if you will, but to allow things to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a function in creative people of being guided. It's a special gift. You know, I think it really is. Likewise with people who are left brain, who are more linear and who are going step by step by step, seeking, direction, recognizing where we are, expressing gratitude. You know, those are kind of spiritually based things that make a big difference.
Absolutely.
If you don't have an anchor to something, you're going to get lost along the way.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It makes me think of Dale Carnegie. There's a piece in Dale Carnegie, not how to win friends and influence people, but the other one, How Not to Worry. If you've read that book, it's an amazing book about worrying and how to get away from yourself and be outside. And that's how he talks in the book about a lady that was bedridden. She was, you know, pretty much she was never going to get out of bed again. And she lived in Hawaii, and it was during Pearl Harbor. And when Pearl Harbor happened, they needed volunteers to call people. So she lifted herself just enough out of bed to call people. And in a few months, she was out of bed and walking and stuff because she was so engrossed in helping and connecting with and doing this service. It healed her just because she helped. And she got away from herself and her own worries. And Dale Carnegie even talks about, prayer is a powerful thing. Even if you don't believe in a God, prayer is a powerful thing to put out there to the universe.
Right.
And everyone should ask for guidance to the universe, to your, you know, spirit, whatever's driving you, God, whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
And it's a it's a real force. I mean, you can't, you can be whoever you want, but you can't deny the fact that there is a real force. When you put something out there, you get stuff back.
Absolutely. And prayer comes about in many different forms for many different people, right?
Mm-hmm.
People have prayer rituals. I think one of the things that we're looking at today out there, you know, that's popular now is mindfulness. And there's so much mindfulness training and ideas behind mindfulness in so many aspects. Even, you know, if you go to some of the incubators and some of the accelerators across the country, many of them set time in the schedule for the participants to have mindfulness training and mindfulness activity and yoga and other things, just from the standpoint of centering or grounding. Hmm. And really and truly, isn't that a source of prayer, a source of communion?
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I think also, Bobby, with what you share about the Dale Carnegie story and the woman in Hawaii, is that being relevant, mattering, isn't, you know, because we could say that being in service is healing in and of itself, and it truly is.
Yeah.
But if we look for the bottom common denominator of that story and of people in that situation, it's having a purpose. It's being relevant. It is not only a healing factor, it's a motivating factor, it's an inspiring factor. We can conquer mountains if we feel a significance, a purpose, a relevance to do so.
If we use that to connect to business or a business idea or our entrepreneur journey, we're going to go a lot further.
Absolutely.
We're going to go a lot further than if it's about, oh, I need to make money. And I get that a lot where people come up to me, Bobby, you know, I'm trying this thing, but gosh, I need to make some money. And I tell them, you know, that's a bad place to be. You need to figure out a way to where you're about the passion and connecting with making a difference, not just, oh, I've got to make revenue, which we've all been in business. We know that revenue is a good thing. We do, it helps us do other cool stuff we want to do, but it's the wrong point.
Yeah. And that's the tough balance. That's the tough thing that we're out there trying to do, because many of us have social norms, have other influences in our lives that we can't talk about money. Money is the root of all evil. You know, money is bad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet we have to have money to live.
And if you let it flow, then it's a total. If you have all these goofy mindsets about money, it clogs it up. I mean, T.R. Becker talks about the money blueprint, and it's a true thing. When you grow up thinking a certain way about money, that's the way you play with it.
Absolutely.
I went to a group once, and the guy brought out $50,000 in cash, and he had us all walk by it, and he videotaped how everybody reacted to the $50,000, and most people would like turn their heads like they weren't interested, and some were afraid of it. And some would touch it, and a very few would pick it up and play with it. He'd let you do whatever you want to the $50,000. And it was just so interesting to see, just looking at the money, the mindset that everybody had about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's powerful.
It is. And I know it's impacted me over my lifetime, you know, what I hold and what I think about that. And then being an entrepreneurial ecosystem, being a leader, being an advocate, being a teacher, and looking at so many of us, we dance around the concept. You know, we talk about accounting, we talk about taxation, we talk about marketing plans, revenue models and stuff, but we don't actually look at, because of our own vulnerabilities, because of pride, because of egos, whatever it is, and be able to say, I'm not making money, this isn't working, or I am making money.
Different.
So looking at two kind of white elephants or pink elephants or something is the spiritual component, mm-hmm. that we sometimes tap dance around, the creativity, the inspiration, and then this concept of money, right?
If you live in that spiritual place, the money will come. If you come from that spiritual place, for one, because in this day and age, everybody, they're not stupid anymore. The consumer is not this, we are bombarded so much, they know when it's real. They know
Absolutely.
When you're coming from
Absolutely.
this space of, I want to help.
Yes.
And if you're there, the money, it's an automatic thing. It just happens.
And that's really interesting. You know, and to be observational and not be judgmental, right?
But we here it comes.
About,
here it comes, here right
go.
Here,
real
right now.
Let's get real. Let's get really real.
Ron
Let's
real.
Get really real. it is interesting how the millennials are the focus of so much media attention, so much business attention.
Yeah.
And there's this whole group of people who are able to talk about the millennials and say, they don't do this, they don't do this, they aren't this, da-da-da-da-da-da. But yet what is so interesting about the millennials is how hooked they are on causes.
Oh.
How much loyalty and authenticity and realness means to them. Mm-hmm. Where did they get that? Where did they get that? And why are they living that value with their dollars, with their purchasing powers, when previous generations didn't do it as loyally, as outwardly?
The me generation is changing. It's not as much.
It's extraordinary. You know, one of the Coveys, of course, a few years ago wrote the book The Speed of Trust, right? Which was fascinating and really meant something. There was a follow-up book to that that also has trust in the title. Is it A Matter of Trust? Does it sound familiar? And in that particular book, there was a measurement done by another organization talking about 77% of consumers only do business with people they trust. Mm-hmm. And something like 64 or 59 or some other high percentage refuse to do business with businesses or people they don't trust.
Mm.
And so as you just, the point you just met about it, we can see through things. We can see whether it's a pure profit motive or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look at that and we tend not to trust people in the B2B community, right?
Our little antennas go up.
Antennas kind of go up, and the millennials are representative of how they use their buying power, you know, that way in a positive way. They're teaching us, they're an example, right? But we tend not to buy from, do business with, associate with people we don't trust. And we tend not to trust, or we tend to be more guarded when we meet or interact or see people where it seems like dollars are the only thing, you know, that's, you know, the top of the agenda, the middle agenda, or everything kind of circles back to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think where we look at companies and causes and things that are heart-centric, that are heart-based, you know, we look at a business that's putting its money, you know, profits and other things into employee welfare programs and doing things, mm-hmm. we tend to want to do business with people that way.
The only caveat is I know I've went the other direction sometimes. I because I don't want to be there, I like, no money is ever on the table. I am here just to love you and help and assist or whatever, and no, I will not take money. And you almost push it that way. You're like, okay, I'm gonna sacrifice myself. And so, you know,
so
that's
how do you go from there and not be over here to the middle?
Yeah.
What have you done?
Me personally, I have realized that the money isn't a greedy piece. The money is a portion you use to get people real or get people serious. Because when things are free and open, then people take them as have no value. So in my experience, what I have learned is that when I put money out, then that validates what I'm doing with them and saying it has value, it is worth something. I had to learn that. I had to learn that I had to do money because I had to know, well, what I'm doing does have value. And if I don't get money for it, then that means to most people it has no value, no matter how powerful it is. No matter if it is same thing that somebody sells for $20,000, if I don't give it a monetary value, then nobody else will.
I was just going to interject with, I was taught that money is just energy.
Mm.
And if I look at money as just energy, then it can become something powerful, more than just buying power. It can offer people food that don't have it. It can offer leverage for people that need to get out of poverty. It just opens up more acceptance of money rather than, oh, it's got this monetary value, I'm going to be all egotistical and rich and look at me with all my dollar bills. But if we look at it as like energy, it can be.
And how much you
spiritual.
Can do with that energy. How much you can do with that energy.
Yeah.
I think that's the big piece. People that become super wealthy can do a lot of good stuff. Money you can move. So.
Yeah, great points. And the word that I keep kind of hearing is value, right? And so I think when we understand the value that we deliver and we appreciate the value that we're purchasing or whatever it might be, that's where it is. I think talking again about business and small business and, you know, and why we're here, when a business owner or an entrepreneur understands and respects the value that he or she has and the value of his or her time and the value of his or her product or service, then they can look at the transaction fairly and say, this isn't about the money, but it's part of the exchange, right? Because I'm delivering value here,
right.
You know, and recognizing that value
that
and
value.
Delivering value.
It's not about the money, but I still believe that putting a monetary thing on that also gives them the fact that it's value. And unfortunately, that's just how we as human beings, at least it's been my experience, that it works. When I give you some amazing piece of value, but it's free, you take it like it's, you know.
Like it's free.
That free thing that you got that you don't really care about.
I don't appreciate the value. Whereas if I have to put some money out, I have to have some buy-in, right? I have to have some flesh that comes, you know, from me.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize the value and it becomes more valuable to me because energetically I'm making an exchange. Right? And as I make that exchange and I'm saying, here, you take my value, which is the money, and you deliver what you deliver, that value.
Yeah.
And it really does make
a
difference.
So there's this balance, I guess.
There is.
This balance that has to happen with your spirit and you're connected with the vision of whatever it is and how to get money for that or a monetary something.
Right.
So, Jay.
Yes,
can
sir.
Ask, what do you think of 2017? What's going on in this year?
It's going to be an extraordinary year. It absolutely. I think the momentum at the end of 2016 is leading to just a phenomenal year.
So it's not the end of the world.
No, but what is so interesting about that is probably the last 6 months of 2016 were the most publicly divisive, the most brutal, the most ugly, the most filled with venom and falsehoods and lies and accusations that I can remember in my life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I have no other event in my life to compare the last 6 months of 2016 to.
True.
But for whatever reason, the momentum going into 2017 and the belief and the ideas within individuals are extraordinarily positive. And then surrounding yourself with people who are embracing that. But I know I look for great things in 2017. I know, Bobby, you and I have discussed some of those things.
Exciting.
I'm excited. I have a great number of things that are launching currently that have taken a lifetime to get here, that have taken years to get here, that 15 years ago I had a vision. Then 12 years ago, that vision narrowed a little bit more. Then 8 years ago, I had the vision, but I didn't understand. Well, a lot of the whys have been put into place for me, and I understand. So that right now, at this particular point, I look at 2017.
So what
one
can
of
we expect
years.
From Jay?
Yeah, what's going on?
What from Jay this year?
What's going on?
Boy, some exciting things. My balance is balancing it with my limitations, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I have in terms of being able to energetically, you know, show up and be in places. My mind races and moves so much faster and does so much more than my body could ever hope to catch up to. But my exciting things in 2017 is Blessed Business will be in full force and effect, which is my primary business. I'll be sitting for the board of professional chaplaincy here within the next 2 months and become a board certified chaplain with a specialty in corporate chaplaincy and in mental health advocacy.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. So with respect to Blessed Business will be doing sponsoring, being a part of ELP, Entrepreneur Launchpad. We'll be a part of other things in the community where we're going to be taking Blessed Business principles, which again is the space of the intersection of better practices, not best practices, but better practices and divine direction.
Love it.
One of the things that I'm really, really excited about has become really important to me through my life's experience is something called the Melee. And when we use the word melee, right, that is a description
for... Oh, I know, Dungeons
for,
and Dragons. That's when you hit something.
Right, a melee, a fray, a ruckus, right, is a close quarters hand-to-hand kind of combat. Mm-hmm. That's what melee means, right? Mm-hmm. I've been in a melee. I've been in a fight, but it's a tough fight. It's close quarters. It's hand-to-hand. It's not at a distance. And I have adopted melee as a word to represent a men's group that I have started. And melee for me stands for, it's M-E-L-A-A-E, men living awake, aware, and engaged. And we're holding small group meetings with men throughout the community where we're looking at men's issues, where we're looking about the things that we are and aren't doing, where it's about men taking on our lives wholeheartedly and stepping into that space of being awake, being aware, and being engaged in our lives. And that's super exciting.
It is.
And really, really fills me.
Is there places that people can find out about that?
Right now, going to the Facebook page is the best place. So on Facebook, there's Join the Melee. Or Join the Melee is Twitter. And melee.org, M-E-L-A-A-E.org on Facebook. And that'll be a primary place to get tips and ideas and thoughts about embracing who we are and doing what we do. And then the meetup group, meetup will be used for individual groups and meetings. But there's some community sponsors I'm working on right now.
We can focus and put the word out there too. How about Blessed Business? How can people
And Blessed Business, the best thing to do on Twitter, we're at More to Business. And on Facebook, we're at blessedbusiness.org. Or on the web, blessedbusiness.org. And a lot of the principles and features of Blessed Business I'm bringing into ELP again by rejoining you and Kevin as a site leader and taking some of the principles that are there, as well as speaking and talking in the community at different places.
Yes.
And there will be some meetups associated
with
that.
We got some crazy good stuff going on.
Absolutely.
In 2017. It is going to be a blast.
Amazing.
Jay, just want to say thank you for showing up. I know that we could sit here and talk probably hours on end. And,
absolutely.
And it would probably be amazingly engaging, but we only have a certain amount of space that we can put on the on our podcast. On the podcast.
Well, had I known that, I'd start all over. I mean, let's... Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So I just want to say thank you. Anything you could add, Ryan?
Oh, it's been a pleasure to know Jay. He got my entrepreneur fire going. So
he has done that to many a folk.
Yeah,
Jay, right, you are such an inspiration, and it probably connected with hundreds and hundreds of people. To you just have a way of getting people to see inside themselves and see their souls. And thank you, Jay, for just being a part of everybody's lives.
Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.